Amen. Anyone with testimony? Anyone else? I want to thank the Murray family for being here. I want to thank God for being here. I want to thank you for sending the Spirit down to bless in such a way. We're going to get in this scripture. As I studied this morning, I was sometimes when you I get at the house and I get the point where we know we've been gone a little while traveling, and come back and just was trying to pray, praying this morning, go where God would have us to go, and this is the direction He sent us. And I've often said this here in church, you know this, I say that every service we come to God's house, it's God has all the pieces of the puzzle. We don't know how God's going to fit and frame everything together. We just got to trust Him to do what He has given us to do. And so I thank God for that. I'm reminded of the song they sung, that last song, the Hills of Home. I remember when my aunt was laying in her bed and she had asked my mom to have me, she just wanted me to come down and sing that song. So I recorded it. I put it on just a CD. I think that song and another song I put on a CD and I sent it down to her. And when I got down to getting down to see her for one of the last times where we could just sit alone when she was still awake, she was talking about that song, When the Hills of Home. And I thought about that while they were singing there, and really what Brother Ernie said was right. I believe as she was laying there in her temporal body, and she knew that her time of life was coming to an end, because we are mortal beings. She had a longing to inherit what God had promised in the immortality, and she was looking for eternity. And I thank God for that. And they said, there's a line in that song, and it says, "Our Savior beckons from His throne. Our Savior beckons." And I was sitting there, and I've wondered if we thought about that, and I no doubt we could all come up with things. What is Jesus beckoning to all of us? I believe He was just beckoning us to welcome home. Welcome home, my good and faithful servant. Thank God today. I'm glad I'm saved today. But we want to take some thoughts and scriptures, if we might, just for a moment, kind of tie right along with the things that have been said and things that have been sung about this morning. It's good to be in God's house. I will say that. We've been out, as we said, for a couple of weeks traveling. I was talking to Brother Jason about this just a little bit, and sent it to my wife. We got to see some beautiful things driving across the country, and got to see some things. And no matter how many pictures you take, it can never do it justice. You can never see what see in everything in a photograph, what you can look at through the natural eye, what God has blessed in this life and the things that He has provided and the things that He's done. And I said this to Brother Jason. I said, God paints with a marvelous paintbrush. Hey, listen, there's a lot of things we look at, and there's a lot of things we can see. Listen, and as good as beautiful as they are here, the things we can see, I can't even imagine what God has prepared in eternity for us to behold, and the place that He has given for us to live and dwell forever and ever. Hey, listen, I can't wait to get there, but I'm enjoying what He's given us here today. But as long as we're here, listen, friend, I still have a longing to go home, but I'm in no rush, because I want to see my loved ones saved. Above anything else, I want to see lost people walking out. I want to see their hearts broken. I want to see salvation fall. I want to see the power and the Spirit of God reach down and get a hold of their heart and just squeeze it just a little bit harder. Hey, listen, and I'm like Brother Ernie. The day I got born again, I did not get a picture of heaven, but I got a full picture of what hell was. And I knew well enough that I didn't want to go to that place, but I had no idea what God had prepared for me on the other side until I got up that off an altar, and God had put a newness in my heart and a newness in my life that I could stand like Apostle Paul wrote in the 15th chapter and say, thanks be to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I know my labor for God is not in vain, and everything that we do here, hey, listen, the world might, they might cast us aside. They might think we're doing it all for show. They might think what we're doing is worthless. Hey, listen, I'm working for a master. Hey, listen, I'm living a life. The world don't understand it, but I'll be just like Philip told Nathaniel. He said, you're going to have to come and see this thing for yourself. I can tell you how good God is. I can tell you how beautiful the things are, but until you see it for yourself, until you picture it for yourself, until you know it for yourself, you'll never fully appreciate or understand the goodness and the majesty and the magnitude of God. Amen.
And I'll say this today, I've been saved for over 30 years and I still don't fully understand the magnitude of God, but I am thankful when he just gives me a little glimpse every now and then. And listen, I just appreciate those crumbs that we get to eat from the Master's table, but I'm glad there's coming a day when I'll lay down this old mortal body that wears out. Hey, listen, and we'll put it aside. We'll lay it down for good and God will give us that new body. Brother Ernie said it already. Hey, listen, I believe it was John. He said, it has not yet appeared what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. That's good enough for me. Hey, thank God I don't need anything else as long as I can say, hey, listen, that I'm like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. Thank God today. Listen, we look at the scriptures. I'm going to not take up too much of your time. We're going to give an altar call in just a minute. Oh, but Solomon writes this in the book of Ecclesiastes, very familiar scripture in verse 1, chapter 1. He said, the words of the preacher, son of David, king of Jerusalem, vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? The 11th chapter, I believe it is, or maybe later on in the book of Ecclesiastes, one of those he talks about a time for all things. Hey, listen, we all know that, but what Solomon was trying to tell the people here was that no matter what we do in this life, hey, listen, there's a time set for everything that we do. He talked about a time to die, a time to be born, a time to die. He said a time of peace, a time of war, a time to plant, a time to reap. Hey, listen, a time to build, a time to tear down. He talks about all those things. And if you really break down the sum of it all, hey, listen, Solomon was writing that vanity and vanity is all his vanity. All the works that we do here in this life are in this present body. They're all temporal things. Listen, nothing lasts forever. And Brother Ernie touched on that this morning already about the things that we see. I thought about the mountains that we got to behold as we traveled across the country. Even then they say, hey, listen, I believe in the Bible and what it says. And I thought about that as we was driving around, that someday God's going to shove them all down flat. Hey, listen, and all the low places are going to be made brought up. Hey, listen, you say, preacher, can this happen? I just believe what God had to say about it. Hey, listen, I don't know how exactly what he did to put them there, but I know he spoke it and they were there. Hey, listen, I know that heaven and earth, listen, just moves at the sound of his voice. I know that whatever God says is so. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Because even though I'm a temporal being, and even though I cannot understand the mind of God, and I'll never fully be able to comprehend the things that he does. Hey, listen, in my own imagination, I do know that when God, hey, listen, that the voice of God, the power of God, that whatever he says will happen, it'll happen. I don't know how I got born again, but I know I did. Hey, listen, I don't know why he sent the message to me, but I know that he did. I couldn't tell you where the Spirit God come from that morning, but I know it reached into my heart. And I hope and pray that if you're here today, you understand that the things you do in your life by your own hands are all temporary, but I'm preaching to you about immortal God and eternal God, and the things that he does is forever. This earth is temporary. Heaven is eternal. Hell is eternal. Hey, listen. And so we begin to look at this thing, and I thought about my dear aunt as she was laying there, and I wrote some things down this morning. One thing I wrote down, I said, we are mortals living in the temporal, desiring immortality and the joys of living eternally. That's exactly what we are. Hey, listen, we're just temporary in this life. We live in these mortal bodies, but everybody wants to live longer. Everyone wants to live another day. Everyone wants to make it another year. Hey, listen, it don't get any longer than eternity, friends. Everyone wants to live a life without sickness, without sorrow, without death. In this world, you're not going to see that, but I'm preaching to you a place where God has prepared, that Jesus said, I'm going away to prepare it, and if I go away, I'm going to come again. I'm going to receive you unto myself. Hey, listen, that where I am, there you may be also. And when he looked at Martha, and when she was weeping over her brother Lazarus' death, because he's been laid in the grave for 4 days, she said, surely he stinks. Jesus said, he'll rise again. Hey, listen, thank God Jesus is the resurrection, and the place where I'm going is forever. Amen. So we're seeking these places. You're not going to find it in this world. And I thought about that, and we all know. And listen, we gather in the house of God, and you say, what is the preaching? Why do we come and we preach Jesus Christ? Well, there's nothing else to preach. Hey, listen, there's nothing else that'll benefit you. There's nothing in this world that can help you. Hey, listen, what Jesus has done for you. We are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Hey, listen, for we know that the Adam nature and men's, hey, listen, the sin of disobedience separated Adam and Eve from the presence of God in the garden. Hey, listen, and they were cast out, and we know that we all have that Adam nature in us. That's already been said this morning. And so we've got that Adam nature in us. And by one man's sin, we're all counted the sin of Adam's imputed unto everyone that reaches a point in their life where they're accountable for their sins in the eyes of God. Hey, listen, ain't none of us exempt from it. If you live long enough in this world and you got your mind and your heart, hey, listen, and there'll come a time in your life where you'll realize that you have separated yourself. You are separated from God by sin, and all of a sudden those things are imputed unto you, and there's nothing you can do about it.
That's right.
You can't get away from it. You can't plead ignorance to it. Hey, listen, you can't say, I don't know, because, hey, listen, it just happens, and God shows you all these things. Hey, listen, so we, and you can try to hide it and say, well, I'm a good person, and that don't apply to me, and that's a lie straight out of hell. I'm reminded what Jeremiah wrote or said. I wrote this down this morning, Jeremiah 17, verse 9. He said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Hey, listen, I believe the Bible. He said, I am the Lord. He said, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. Hey, listen, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. I don't know your heart, but God does know your heart. I can't look down and tell you what you got, but God does look down and he knows what you have. And so you can try to hide it. You can try to lie to the preacher. You can try to lie to the church. Hey, listen, but you will not lie to God.
Amen.
He knows your heart.
Right,
he knows your heart.
Yes.
And no matter how hard you try to fix it, you can't fix it on your own.
Right.
No matter what you do in life to try to live good, you can't live good enough to fix it on your own. You're not going to grab on to mom, grab on to dad. You're not going to grab on to the song leader. You're not going to grab on to grandma or grandpa. You're not going to hold fast to the things that you've been taught by a loved one who's passed on, hoping that you'll meet them again another day, simply because you've had a relationship with them in this life. It's not by inheritance either. That won't get you there. Hey, listen, so we begin to take away and peel away all the pieces of this onion, and we realize that you can't do it on your own. Your mom, dad can't do it for you. Your relatives can't do it for you. The preacher can't do it for you. And the song leader can't do it for you. The deacons can't do it for you. Who can do it? God said, he said, I try the heart. I look at the heart. And as I try the reins, I'm willing to help you. God has made a way.
Amen.
That's what I'm trying to preach to you. And listen, that's why we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the only one that made a way. I thought about as we were traveling out, and many of us have seen those bumper stickers, those cars they put upon the back of the bumper. They'll say coexist, and I don't know all those symbols, but if you kind of break it down, I would imagine what they're trying to do is say that we can all coexist one with another, and they got all the religious symbols together there, and they say we're all, hey listen, where this religion's the same as this one, and we can all blend together. The only problem is that's not what my Bible tells me. I got a problem with that, because Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, and without me you can do nothing. Hey, listen, I thank God today. I'm not looking to coexist with anybody. I'm walking in this world. I'm a pilgrim and a stranger, just like Moses was in the land of his forefathers. Hey, listen, as I'm walking through this life, I know that I'm here temporarily, but I know where my eternal home is, through the blood of Jesus Christ today. All I want to do is just preach him. Because you can try to coexist with everybody and you'll die and go to hell. Or you can believe the truth and go to heaven. Hey, listen, and so Christ told him, hey, listen, he made the way. And that's what's already been said. He said, I am the way. And he told him, he said, I go away to prepare for you a place. We've already quoted that. Hey, listen, but so when we find in the scriptures then in Hebrews I had written this down, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, and we know that that's the part of the scripture where the writer writes. He said, in sundry times, he talks about God, had communicated with man, showed himself to man in sundry times in diverse manners. We all understand that in the Bible. You can go in the Old Testament and see where God moved across. God sent a prophet down to him somewhere. God showed him a sign somewhere. God appeared to him along the mountain. Hey, listen, and he dealt with him in times past, in sundry times, in diverse manners. But now, hey, listen, he has sent his own son. Hey, listen, through Jesus Christ, we're all can come to him. Hey, listen, I'm glad today that there is one way, and it's through Jesus Christ today. God don't deal in sundry times and diverse manners anymore. God deals through the presence and the word and the gospel of his own son. And so it's the power of God. Hey, listen, and Christ told him in John 5 when he was talking to the Pharisees over there, and he tell him, he said, I tell you this. He said, my Father has borne witness of me. He said, if I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. But John bore witness of me, and you believed him. He said, but he's dead. But I tell you that my Father has borne witness of me also. We know this because the Bible says that out of the cloud of heaven, hey, listen, the Lord himself spoke when Jesus came up out of the water, and he said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. Thank God today. And Jesus told him over there, because you don't know my Father, because you don't believe my Father, it's the reason you don't believe in me. But I tell you that me and my Father are one. The Father has sent me. Oh, listen, and when Jesus commissioned the 12 to go out and preach in the streets and preach in Jerusalem and preach throughout all the nations and go from city to city, town to town. And then he saved Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus and sent him all over Asia Minor. Hey, listen, all the way to Rome. For what reason? To preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. Because he knew that was the only way. And here we are in 2019, and it's still the only way. So what are you going to do when your time is up? And you step into God's time. You could say, well, preacher, it's all God's time. Well, literally it is. Figuratively, what I'm talking about, though, is right now you're living your days and your days and your days and your weeks and your months and your years. But eventually, your time and my time is going to run out.
That's right. Exactly.
Because Solomon said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. We know that to a beginning of thing, there's an ending.
Yeah.
To everything. We get that backwards sometimes. We love the beginning. We don't like the ending. Well, I got born again, so I love the ending. There's joy in the ending. But to the world that's lost, there's trouble and torment. There's danger and strife. Hey, listen, there's a hell to be shunned. There's a lake of fire to be feared. And all those things await. When you end your time, if you don't trust in Christ and you step into God's time. But unlike your time and my time that ends, as it's been said, God's time is eternal. One day is 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day.
That's right.
There is no ending. There is no ending to heaven. And we can smile about that if you've been born again, and you ought to. It'll bring joy to your heart to know that there is no ending to heaven. And that God paints with such a marvelous brush. And how beautiful heaven must be.
Amen.
I don't know what heaven will be, but I know it'll be beautiful.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir.
And just a place where I can be with Jesus is good enough.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, goodness. And, bless you, preacher.
Place with no sorrow.
Yeah.
No heartaches. No hatred. No strife. No envy. We'll just be there on God's time. Forever and ever to be with him.
Yeah.
What joy there'll be when we get over yonder.
Amen. Amen.
But to you that are lost, it's why we preach Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Yep.
I could come to this church today until the day that I die and preach the beauties of heaven and the glories of heaven, and we could shout the house down. And if I never preach about a hell, and I never preached about the blood of Christ, and never preached that you must repent or you're going to die. Hey, listen, you're going to perish. Hey, listen, it wouldn't do you a bit of good. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is a gospel of reconciliation back to God through the blood of his son. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you is Christ died at an old rugged cross and shed his blood for the remission of your sins so you don't have to go to hell. That you have a place in heaven. That you have a place that you could smile about at the end of your days. If cancer's eating your body or whatever it is that takes you out of this world, if you lay there for any length of time and you tarry, some people, that's how they die. Some people just go out instantly. I don't know why. It's all in the hands of God. And I've said this before. God's justified in everything that he does. And so I never question God. But if you lay there and your loved ones gather around you and they just watch you decay, because you know Jesus, you can still smile. My aunt sat there and she rejoiced, even though she was down to almost nothing in weight. She was nothing but bones and skin. And I'm not here to preach a sorrowful, sad story about a loved one dying, because that won't get you saved. But I will tell you that as she laid there and her body was decaying and the end of her time was coming, she was rejoicing on the inside.
There you go.
Because she knew what she had was going to take her over into eternity, into a much better place. And my only hope and my only prayer is today that you understand that when you leave this world, you step into eternity. I have tried to, in some meager way, in some short way, let you know that Christ is the only way.
Amen.
And without him, you will likewise perish.
Amen.
That's what he told them. They come to him, they said, what about these? And he said, lest you repent, you'll all likewise perish.
Exactly.
And they said, what about the 70 over here? And he said, I say unto you, lest you repent,
amen,
you'll all likewise perish.
That's right.
So a life without Christ and a life without repentance in Jesus Christ, a life without the blood of Christ, is a soul that'll perish forever.
Amen.
That's sad. I don't believe I can preach heaven beautiful enough, and I don't believe I can preach hell hot enough. I've heard people say, well, we need to preach hell hotter. I don't believe you can preach it any hotter than it is. I don't believe you can preach it any as hot as it really is. And I don't believe you can preach a lake of fire worse than it actually is. Other than tell people, and we've tried to preach it and tried to put it in words, and we tried to give people a visualization of it. Sometimes people just don't understand the torment of a fire because they've never been around a flame close enough that really burns them. You try to tell them about the tormenting of a fire and the tormenting of outer darkness, the tormenting of a lake of fire, a bottomless pit, and all these things. But then you start talking about the separation from love, the separation from family. There are no parties in hell. There are no parties in a lake of fire. There's no joy there. There's no friends there. There's nothing there. It's torment forever. Separation from anything that's good. Jesus said there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He said the worm dieth not. And the fire is never quenched.
That's right, brother.
That's what he said.
That's true.
That's what he said. And if I believe the Bible, and I do, I believe that the rich man lifted his eyes out of that place, and I believe
sure
they're still lift up.
He did.
And he was crying in torment. He was crying in pain. That's what hell is. But Jesus made a way. My desire is for you to be saved. My sincere desire is the same as Apostle Paul's desire was for his people. He said, my sincere desire is that all Israel be saved. But it's up to you. You've got to come for yourself. I can't save you. No one else can save you. You've got to come for yourself. Call on the name of Jesus. He's the only help you have. What a friend we have in Jesus. That's really the message. Short, we're going to ask Brother Ernie, would you guys come? Jason, Chris, if y'all would, sing a song. Invitation. Let's all stand to our feet today. You might be looking in life, and one of the things in life that we look at is we'll say, I'm young and I've got days ahead of me. And I've told the church this, and I remember last year I stopped counting the funerals that I had been a part of or preaching in, but it was a bunch. It was about one seemed like one, two a month. It was a lot. But I said it during the funerals then, too, and I'll say it again now, and I've said it here before. You might be looking, and you might believe in a lie, that you have many days out in front of you. But I'm sure that Brother Ernie will attest to this, and those that have been called to preach in funerals. I've preached funerals of infants.
Sure.
I've preached funerals where you could take the casket, and you could just carry it in your hand. One person carries it.
Absolutely.
You know, you can, and I'm always amazed, and I tell people this. You go out the graveyard when they lay some loved one in the grave. You take 30 minutes and walk around that place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there ain't, not every headstone in there has a span of 70 to 80 years. In fact, what I found is there's very few that do. Most of them are much younger than you would ever imagine. You'll walk through, you'll see 20s, you'll see 30s, you'll see 40s, and you'll think, that's too young. That's too young. That's too young. But that's what our time is. It's like a vapor. I mean, the Bible tells us that. It's just like a vapor and it's gone. We're here one moment and we're gone the next. But when we're in God's time, we step into eternity. I hope and pray, and my desire for you is to step into eternity where you've got a home prepared, and Christ will be from the throne saying, welcome home. Welcome home. When the hills of home start going, hey, listen, I've watched enough people die, and I've watched them lay in the bed, and they just smile whenever you start talking about heaven. You start singing Amazing Grace and a smile will come over their face. Don't matter what kind of pain they're in. They'll raise their hands up because they know where they're going. Amen. And they'll rejoice because the hills of home are calling. They already know they're headed there. Yeah. I'm hoping and praying, and what I'm trying to preach to you today is get position in your life, get situated in your life where that could be you someday. Right. That when you think of death, you smile instead of thinking of death and worrying and fretting and stressing. God will give you the peace that you need in your life. We're going to ask Him to sing. Come.
The old preacher man stood there in the pulpit. The church house was empty.
How about it today? Right now. Don't look around. It's not between you and the people in the here. It's between you and God. You might say, preacher, I'm not prepared to tell you what I did. I don't need to know anything. This is a conversation between you and Christ. Between you and the Lord. But Christ died to make a way for you to get on this altar and call on Him, to accept Him.
There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shine.
Yes, there is.
The way it's still straight.
Straight.
And there's a race to be run.
Narrow, amen.
You can live as you please. Pay the cost.
Yeah.
And the highway to heaven still goes by the cross.
Yes, it does. Amen.
Now some of his members thought he was old-fashioned, unwilling to change with the time. So they found other churches, more modern day preachers who were willing to let things go by.
Yeah.
But the old preacher stood for what he believed in and what he had preached 40 years. As he stands there this morning and he sounds out the warning, once again, letting them know.
Amen.
There's a heaven to gain.
Heaven to gain. Won't you come and gain it this morning if you're lost? Get on this altar. God's way has not changed.
There's a race to be run.
Still the cross, still the blood, still repentance.
And the highway to heaven still goes by the cross.
Amen.
That's verse right here.
Amen.
How the old preacher man stands there in that city, the city preached of so long.
God bless.
Oh, Oh, but he's never seen such a great congregation all gathered to welcome him home. He's never heard such beautiful singing that's coming from that heavenly band. For he's preached his last sermon and he's carried his last burden. He's at rest in that heavenly land. But still, there's a heaven again.
We want to shake hands. We're going to have Brother James and come, and maybe a few in the choir. Brother James can play, and he'll get a song. We want to come around and shake hands with the Murrays, and also we want to take up a love offering, and we'll say there's some CDs out there, right? Got CDs on the front porch. As you come in and as you go out, take a look at what's out there, and grab a CD, 2, 3, or 5, whatever they got, I don't know, and get you those. But we want to take up a love offering and shake hands with them, tell them we love and appreciate them. And we know they're busy. We know they're travel. And we just appreciate them making time to come over and be with us. And just thank God for the opportunity to be in service with them one more time. And just to feel God's presence. And that's always a joy. And Sister Connie, if you want to stay there, that's fine, sis. Or get if you want to move, whatever you want to do, get a chair, whatever. But we don't want to inconvenience in any way. But we do want to have opportunity. Everyone come around, shake your hand, hug your neck, and just good to be in God's house. So anyone have a testimony before they sing? All right. While they get things ready, let's...